You know, it's funny because I always say it this way, and like most expats would agree, you don't really choose Cambodia. Cambodia chooses you in a lot of ways. So, you know, every expat story is different, but a lot of people either were like passing through Cambodia or came here once and like loved it and like returned. For me, I actually was traveling the world throughout 2019, found my way in Southeast Asia and thought I was going to be settling into Vietnam. And part of like moving out this way, you have to do what's called a visa run, which is you get an initial 30-day visa, then you have to leave the country to come in on like maybe a more permanent visa if you found a job. So I did a visa run to Malaysia, met my husband, who happened to be moving to Cambodia, and I thought, well, why not?
Are you tired of trying to keep ahead in the rat race, only to have so much of your hard-earned money going to the tax collector? Equity doesn't pay the bills. Retirement savings don't pay you now, and there are only 24 hours in a day to work. The only solution is passive income that pays you 24/7 now, not 40 years from now. From vetted investment opportunities to tax saving strategies, let John guide you through all the confusion and take control of your financial life in pursuit of financial freedom. So sit back, relax, and welcome to the Wealth and Freedom Nexus.
Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. But we are on episode 71. Hard to believe I've been pushing through this since November of 2021. So again, for all of you out there listening, I'll just mention a few friends. Quinn, I know you're listening. Brandon, I know you're listening, but also several throughout the world. Thank you for your listenership and support. It really means a lot to me and really kind of helps me keep pushing on with this, even though many episodes I don't think get past episode number 7. I think it's something like 70% of podcasts go into pod fade and don't make it past, you know, 10 episodes or whatever. So anyways, again, thank you for all the support. If this is your first time listening, thank you for finding this. Hope you enjoy this and be sure to hit that subscribe button or follow button or thumbs up, like whatever podcast listening platform you're using on this. Using the listening to this so you don't miss an episode. For this one is another country spotlight, which I started doing middle, I think it was August of 2022. And so far I've covered Belize, Nicaragua, Panama, Puerto Rico. Yes, I know that's technically a U.S. territory, not really a foreign country, but in many ways it kind of operates like a foreign country and has a lot of tax incentives, which has drawn a lot of people there. You can check out that episode that I had in December. That was with Shane and Robnett. And, you know, I'm just going to look up. I am one of these days I should have every single episode memorized here. That was episode 63 with Shane and Robnett, who I met with at the Summit on Sand with the real estate guys in Belize 2021. Also as a fellow podcaster, real estate syndicator, fourth generation real estate developer, if I recall. So anyways, I'm going off on a tangent. And then last month, January 23, highlighted Cyprus, which is actually kind of an interesting country that I myself would like to visit and maybe even buy property there, as both my wife and I like waterfront properties, oceanfront properties, but, you know, aren't exactly crazy about, you know, those lovely things, hurricanes, typhoons, which was very interesting with Cyprus. It's kind of in a, well, I think the guest kind of described it as like a bathtub or a basin where they did get those huge weather events. So anyways, I'm sure to check out those country spotlight episodes that I've had. Hope you've been enjoying this. Little teaser, I will be having a returning guest. This guest has been on before talking about short-term rentals, but he'll be returning here probably about 4 weeks, I would say, to talk about his experience living in Colombia. And no, it isn't like a drug lord infested, you know, crime ridden area, kind of like Narcos portrays. Things have changed a lot since the 1980s. I'll just leave it at that. So as always, be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Just want to give you those teasers of an upcoming episode that I have down the pipeline, as well as the ones I mentioned before with country spotlights that I've had before. Now, obviously, within a span of 30 to 45 minutes, it is impossible to cover everything about a country, no matter how big, small, you know, developing, developed, whatever it is. So I hope it at least piques your interest to know that there is just a very large world out there. I think one of my guests and good friends, Jeremy Oliver, put it on my Screw the W2 show, you are not a tree. So if you do not like where you're at, whether it's in the certain city, state, country, or wherever you're at, you know, quite bluntly, just pick up and move. There's a large world out there. Sometimes the cost of living's better. Medical, you know, if you have health issues, can be a lot more accessible and more cost effective in other areas. So really, I just kind of hope this maybe broadens your horizons, so you know what's all out there, whether as just a traveler or if you want to become an expat, also a digital nomad that's been kind of more and more popular, or, you know, fast forward for anyone out there that's approaching retirement. You know, maybe you're thinking, well, geez, I only have, you know, insert number saved for retirement, or I'm only going to get a, whatever, $2,000-$3,000 pension, or combined with Social Security and retirement, you know, golly, just can't make ends meet here in the U.S. or Canada or wherever you're listening. You know, maybe it's time to check out some other places. You know, actually, my guest here in this episode mentioned for really from $1,000 to $1,500 a month, you can live pretty comfortably here in Cambodia. And while this might not be a cup of tea, you know, the cup of tea for everyone, especially if you're like me that doesn't like humidity very much, you know, it's just something to consider. So here's a couple of fast facts on Cambodia. This country is located in Asia, surrounded by the Indian Ocean, Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam. And over 17 million people live in Cambodia. For geographic size or footprint, again, I'm, you know, kind of catering to the United States here because that's where the majority of my listeners are. The country is about the size of Oklahoma, just to kind of give you a rough idea, you know, in comparison to, you know, other geographic areas or states. As my guest says, it rains a lot in this country. You know, monsoons and flash floods are, you know, unfortunately kind of common. So just as a heads up, it is hot and it humid, even more than, you know, Panama, like I had with my guest, Mikkel Thorup, who mentioned the Panama tropical climate. Cambodia does have a lot of natural resources. I didn't know this, but oil, gas, timber, and iron ore are kind of the top four natural resources that are produced and, you know, used internally or exported worldwide. Population density, now, you know, here in the U.S. we go square mile and the rest of the world goes kilometers in the metric system, but population density per square kilometer is about twice that of the United States. So just as a country as a whole, comparing the United States, you know, rural and urban areas to Cambodia, generally speaking, you know, it is a more densely populated country per se. Tourism is the second highest source of revenue. This is after textiles. Textiles is actually the number one source of the revenue for this country. Tourism is number two. And 26% of the country's workforce is actually employed in tourism. So, you know, a lot of, like I said, digital nomads, travelers have checked out the beaches and tourist attractions of this country. Now, I did not know this. I just kind of looked up some few quick facts before I started recording this. If you're a Big Bang Theory fan like I am and remember Sheldon's Fun with Flags little episodes that they had within the TV series, interesting thing, Cambodia is the only flag in the world that has a building on it. Whatever that building is, Cambodia is the only country out of roughly 200 countries the United Nations sizes that has a building on it. And that building is the Angkor Wat. I hope I pronounced that correctly. But you might have actually seen pictures of this. You can actually Google it. For those listening, it's Angkor WAT. It's the largest religious complex in the entire world. This was actually built back in the 12th century. Obviously, this attracts a lot of tourists. I'll just leave it at that. You can kind of Google and look at the pictures yourself, kind of see it. Now, overall in Cambodia, and my guest will, you know, kind of go into this more detail, the cost of living is very low. You can really get a feast, and, you know, I'm talking luxury meal for two for about $15. Starting, you can get a nice apartment for about $500. In fact, my guest, they pay, and I say they, her and her husband, pay $750 a month. And that includes, obviously, the nice apartment, which is downtown. It's not, you know, in the rural areas, but also has a rooftop pool and gym. And like I said, right in the city, close to a lot of attractions, where here in the United States, I mean, heck, even in Marshall, good luck finding a nice place for $750 that has a pool and a gym right downtown. And obviously in the Twin Cities, Metro, or larger MSAs, you know, you're talking $2,000, $3,000. I've even started to see some in the $4,000 to $5,000 range. So, like I said, cost of living is very low in Cambodia, but, you know, I'm not going to do too much spoilers. There are some downsides to the country, if you will. Obviously, the weather we kind of highlighted, but, you know, every country kind of has their pros and cons, and what might be a great place to live, travel to, work for one person might not work for everyone. And with that, and a final note, if you're not subscribed to my YouTube channel, be sure to click on that in the show notes, or you can just go to youtube.com/WFreedomNexus. My second part of the this interview with Kat Rucker is on my Screw the W-2 show, only available on YouTube, where she shares that at age 23, she decided to travel the world and now basically runs a finance blog and a consulting business overseas with clients all over the world. So just was all around interesting story, kind of fun fact. I actually connected with Kat on Twitter and we just kind of started having conversations. I was like, hey, you want to, you know, be on my podcast? And then I learned about what she did. It's like, oh, this would actually be a good topic for my podcast as a country spotlight, but also for my hashtag Screw the W2 show. So with that, I hope you enjoy this. Hope you learn a couple things about Cambodia. You know, maybe it's another area you want to check out, visit. You know, if you're a digital nomad, maybe make it as a stop on your travels. Or if you want to become an expat or retiree, you know, there is a large community there for expats and retirees in this country. So with that, we'll get into my interview with Kat Rucker after a word from our sponsors. Have you ever wanted to invest like the wealthy and how the 1% do, but think it's out of reach for you? Do you desire a more abundant lifestyle, but think you can't afford it? If so, check out ECI Development. With over 20 years of international real estate experience, Mike Cobb and his team can help you truly diversify your portfolio and lifestyle. How about benefiting from a generational investment that can 10x your wealth or more with a teak hardwood parcel in Panama or Nicaragua? Maybe it'll even lead to residency options in the future. Perhaps you'd be interested in a beachfront condo for under $250,000, enjoying the beautiful sunsets off the Pacific Ocean. Maybe an eco-friendly tiny home for around $100,000. ECI's team can even help you get financing for these investments. To learn more, check out the show notes or go to wealthandfreedomnexus.com/ECI. Hey, Kat, thanks for coming on the show. How are things in Cambodia?
It's great. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So I'm guessing it's probably warmer over there than it is here. We're down in the mid-30s after being in the 80s not too long ago.
Oh, wow. The 30s. I'm in a very different situation over here. I don't think we ever get below 80.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I remember years and years ago, Puerto Rico is a favorite place for my wife and I to visit. And I remember our tour guide was saying something like the lowest recorded ever temperature was like 38 or something on the island of Puerto Rico. Well, we had left Minneapolis. It was negative 20 actual temp, and it was 87 degrees when we landed. So telling the tour guide that it was 107 degree difference, like he just couldn't even comprehend it.
Yeah, sometimes when Cambodians travel outside of the country, they get like weather sick. It's like really crazy because they've just never experienced like cold at all.
Yeah. Well, and then even cold is relative. I mean, I even have relatives down in Arizona that it gets chilly when it gets to 60 degrees. I'm like, we're still in shorts and a tank top up here in Minnesota.
Yeah, now I can tolerate like a long sleeve in 80 degree weather because that is our chili.
Gotcha. So, all right. Well, there's maybe we'll just kind of jump around since we kind of started joking about weather. But obviously, there's a number of questions I always ask my guests that are, living overseas as digital nomads or expats. But what is the overall weather and climate in Cambodia where you're at?
Hot,
Hot.
always
Okay.
hot, humid. We have monsoon seasons, and so sometimes we get like a little bit of flooding and kind of like these random rains, which it's funny because everyone's like, oh, you don't want to go during monsoon season, but that's to me the best time to be here because everything gets a little bit cooler
Oh, okay.
and the roads get a little bit cleaner sometimes. So it's definitely not a bad time to visit. And I guess, hey, it's not our peak season, so less
Yeah.
tourists as well. But yeah, just a very hot tropical climate here.
Okay. So yeah, like a jungle, maybe in the US, similar to Florida, I'm guessing, or even maybe more humider than that.
Yeah. And it depends on where you're at. Like I'm in Phnom Penh, which is the city. If you go out to the province, it's a lot more jungly. I got some big spiders.
Oh,
But
jeez.
in the city, we don't really deal with that kind of stuff as much in the city.
Okay, sounds good. Well, maybe we should back up a little bit. And for my longtime listeners, also, Kat had shared her hashtag screw the W-2 story, which will drop this coming Saturday, which will be episode 26. So if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, be sure to do that. But maybe backing up after you left your W-2 job and started traveling the world, what made you choose or pick Cambodia?
You know, it's funny because I always say it this way, and like most expats would agree, you don't really choose Cambodia. Cambodia chooses you in a lot of ways.
Okay.
So, every expat story is different, but a lot of people either were like passing through Cambodia or came here once and like loved it and like returned. For me, I actually was traveling the world throughout 2019, found my way in Southeast Asia and thought I was going to be settling into Vietnam. And part of like moving out this way, you have to do what's called a visa run, which is you get an initial 30-day visa, then you have to leave the country to come in on like maybe a more permanent visa if you found a job. So I did a visa run to Malaysia, met my husband, who happened to be moving to Cambodia, and I thought,
Gotcha.
well, why not? And that was 3 years ago, which I love. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have stayed as long as I did if I didn't enjoy being here to some extent. So, it's definitely a unique place because I think there's so much to see and so much to do that Cambodia, unfortunately, doesn't make the top of the list for a lot of people, but it's a really wonderful country with such like friendly people and like so much beautiful nature. So it's definitely a must-see if you're in the area.
Okay, sounds good. Now, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit, and I've followed, your blog and, Twitter, Facebook posts, et cetera. It seems to be that the, cost of living, at least if you're used to, the US, whether it's the Midwest or the, California where you came from, but what or how is the cost of living in comparison to where you've lived elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, well, especially living in California, which is notoriously expensive. And I was in the Bay Area. So I went to school at Berkeley and then was working at startups in San Francisco. And the price differences are obviously like night and day. Out here, you can probably live on around a $1,500 or less salary as an expat. And so that's dining at expat type restaurants. A lot of expats can even do lower. I've definitely heard of people who do it for like closer to $1,000 if you're living in more of a Khmer style residence. And then yeah, it's a startling difference coming from SF.
And now with that, let's just use 1500 for the, amount. Is that including, either rent and or, is there equivalent of mortgage payments? Like if you own a property over there or? This show is brought to you today by Lightbulb Podcasting. Are you a busy professional that needs to get more time back in their schedule? If you are a podcaster like me, you have enough on your plate. Why not outsource your podcast production? From editing, show notes, keywords, scheduling, volume balancing and editing, and creating audiograms, podcast production is another job in and of itself. That's why I use Lightbulb Podcasting. Get phenomenal support at an affordable price while you concentrate on growing your brand. Go to www.lightbulbpodcasting.com today to schedule an introductory call. Put your content in the spotlight.
It would be different if you own a property. It would probably be slightly more, though not like a crazy amount more. It's also harder to own properties. There's a lot of legalities around foreigners and properties as well. So typically we would do more like an apartment condo. You get like the airspace or something. I'll spare you the details. Okay. But it is possible to have something. So it really depends on the type of accommodation. For me, that's like a decent apartment, more Western style, with regular eating out at more expat style like restaurants. And that's like meaning you eat out maybe all of your meals.
Okay, gotcha.
Because we're actually in a country where it's like, it's easier probably to order food because you're not wasting anything. Because like if you eat local style, you can get food for like $2 to $3 and it's really good. Wow. And then if you eat more expat style, you're looking around $6 a meal, and food delivery is either, sometimes it's free or it's like 50 cents to a dollar. So
wow.
You don't even... Yeah, it's really hard to beat actually ordering out here.
Gotcha. Yeah, even here, I think $6 will get you a beer and that's about it, much less a meal or anything.
Yeah, $15 and you're feasting.
Wow. Okay. So, and then on the housing end, you know, let's just say if it's like a 2-bed, you know, 1-bath apartment, you know, for an expat or digital nomad, you know, what does that typically, you know, run in the area that you live in?
Yeah. So again, it kind of depends on if you're doing something more like Khmer style, more local style versus more Western style. Okay. So if you get something that's more like local style, you can get a pretty big, like a pretty big spacious 2-bedroom for probably starting around 500, depending on what area of town you're located in and just kind of your own personal preferences. My husband and I, we live in a service department. So it comes with like cleaning and stuff like that. Oh. And we pay $750 a month, but we have a rooftop pool. We're right in like the busy part of town. And then we have a rooftop gym as well. So it's definitely much better than what $750 used to get me in the Bay Area.
Exactly. Well, even here in a little old Marshall, Minnesota, I just saw an ad. I think it was for $650 a month. It was for a 1-bed, 1-bath. You know, subsidized Section 8, you know, no frills housing. So
yeah,
definitely a stark difference there. So now you mentioned this. So you've been in Cambodia now for 3 years, obviously like the environment. And, you know, how's the way of life there too? Is it a little bit more relaxed than the US, or how's that with the culture?
I mean, that's an interesting one. I would just say it's different. Okay. I think people-wise, people are a bit more relaxed, but then you have like the startling contrast of the traffic and how busy the streets are. And the only rule is that there are no rules on the road. So that's very like busy and like shocking. Although I would say compared to like, for me anyways, I found Vietnam to be quite busier. Phnom Penh is more of like a medium to smaller sized town. And so it has a bit of a smaller pace of life compared to larger cities. Yeah.
Okay. As I recall, you had mentioned, and I think you even posted on Twitter or something, like most taxi rides are only like a dollar, like in US terms, like a dollar or two. And instead of Uber, there's like a different service over there or something.
Yeah, out here, there's like our local like app is called Grab. It's really wonderful because it actually works in Vietnam and I think a few other countries as well.
Okay.
So Grab, you can just call a tuk-tuk and usually it costs around 75 cents to a dollar, depending on how far you're going. Even to go to the other side of town, it would cost like $3.
Wow.
And if you took a car, it would probably be around like $5 or so, maybe even less if you're only going down the street. So you have several options. And Vietnam's fun too, because you can take a motorcycle ride.
Oh, nice. So
someone will pick you up on a moto.
Hopefully they have a helmet. I'm kind of scared of motorcycles personally.
They do.
All right.
Lots of options for transportation. It's definitely easy out here.
Okay. Sounds good. And then kind of the last thing I wanted to touch base on, the cost of living. And I know we had talked about this the last time we had attempted to record this, but as far as the healthcare goes, I know you mentioned, you know, general, you know, you got to whatever, a cold or an infection or kind of like minor things per se, generally speaking, you know, relatively inexpensive in Cambodia. But if it's something more serious, I don't know, I'll just throw like a knee surgery or something like that. You had mentioned people tend to fly to Thailand or Malaysia or kind of like go elsewhere for larger services. Is that correct?
Yeah. It depends on what you're having done. You would definitely want to be, I mean, in any country, you'd want to be diligent in researching who's going to, sure, like, you know, be even filling a cavity for you. But yeah, I would say most basic procedures you can have done out here. But for other stuff, you might want to go abroad. So like some friends have been pregnant, and a lot of like both locals and expats will choose to like do some of their checkups abroad or just give birth abroad. Mainly, usually it is Thailand, but also the quality of the healthcare is just so phenomenal over there as well. And it's like a 1 hour flight, $100 round trip. So,
oh, geez.
Yeah. So it's a bit more like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go to Thailand for the weekend.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you have more like serious, like ongoing issues, then maybe it's not the best fit. But we also have a lot of, actually, I didn't mention this last time, over the counter stuff as well. So like you can get like prescriptions that typically you wouldn't be able to get back home much easier here and much more straightforward.
Gotcha. So not only, cheaper than what would be in the United States or maybe several developed nations, but you don't need to set up a doctor visit, wait 2 weeks to get a prescription and then get your medication.
Exactly. Yeah. For better or for worse, but it definitely clears up a lot of red tape.
All right. It sounds good. Kind of the last thing I wanted to touch base on, I know you kind of mentioned this too, like, you know, foreigners coming in, you know, if they wanted to buy a property, there's a lot more hoops to jump through. But if, just renting, it's obviously easier and cheaper. As far as like, you know, digital nomads, you know, expats or people that are just running a business, how business friendly is Cambodia? Or do you still recommend, I think you even said your LLC is still registered in the U.S.?
Yeah. Well, for me, a lot of my clients are still US based. So I think that's also a consideration, is like, where are your clients at and like what's easy for them when it comes to like setting up bank accounts. It is easy to start up a business out here. It's actually gotten a lot easier over the last year or so because the government has like online portals. So you can submit some of the documents online now. A while ago, we used to like, everyone would go with an agent for basically everything, whether it's like just getting your visa renewed or your work permit, and just decides to use an agent because it tends to be a lot more straightforward. And so it's the same with businesses, where we used to just go with agents. Now you can do it for yourself. Depending on the size of your company, you might be looking at around $1,000 to truly set things up. And then taxes, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I think it runs about 20%, and it's usually flat as well. Like, it's, you're a foreigner, 20%,
sure,
whether you're running a business or doing this, that, and the other. But the nice thing is you can hold your own visas and stuff like that. So it makes staying in the country long-term a lot more straightforward as well for you.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. Interesting. I know you know this obviously from being in California. I think they're getting close to $1,000 in California just to do the annual renewal of the LLC. So starting a business for that amount definitely is more business friendly, I would say.
Yeah. And it's really interesting out here. Like, something that a lot of people don't know is that, so in Cambodia, we actually use dollars.
Oh, okay.
That's my big fun fact for people, because we use both dollars. And then there's also the local currency, which is called the real. And they're used like interchangeably. So like, if you pay with the $10 bill, you might get real back, or like, a few $1 bills. And it's really interchangeable. And I think it just makes doing business a lot easier for expats as well, because you have like a currency that you're more familiar with.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. Sounds good. And then maybe as a final point, you know, you kind of allude to the Cambodia, you know, kind of finds you. You don't find Cambodia. But as far as the general population, is there a large digital nomad / expat community? And then how widely spoken is English? Or I don't want to say kind of forced to learn the local language?
Yeah, I would say English is very, very widely spoken. So like, if I was to go to the cafe down the street, it has all of the prices. Actually, it has the prices in USD, and then it also has the menu in English. They always, of course, have a Khmer version of the menu as well. But even talking to like a barista at most cafes, unless it's a really smaller cafe, they'll have enough English to be able to like communicate with you in that regard. There's a, like, it's a country where tourism is kind of like a big money moneymaker. And so a lot of people speak English, but it's also a country that has a lot of influence from places like China, where English would be like the common denominator language. So each side kind of picks up English to communicate. So it's really common out here. And then, yeah, it's really friendly. Everyone's really nice. And it's a very small expat community. So everyone kind of gets to know each other pretty fast, but it's definitely welcoming. I know a lot of people who have started businesses here. Actually, most of my friends have businesses here, whether it's like selling products or having a restaurant and stuff like that. And so I'd say it's a lot easier for people to, you know, be able to pursue their entrepreneurial dreams. And we do have lots of co-working spaces too.
Very cool. Interesting. So, all right. Well, as we wrap this up, and I want to thank you again, Kat, for joining us. I know it's past midnight your time when you're recording, but any last things you want to mention, you know, with your business, your blog, and how people can find out about you and reach out?
Sure. Yeah. If you're interested in the blog, I blog mainly on personal finance. I do touch upon topics related to travel. Since I'm in Cambodia now, I'm actually moving to Singapore pretty soon. So I'm anticipating some Singapore content coming up as well. So you can find me at Cash for Kat. So that's Kat with a K. So cashforkat.com. And then my business is Kat Rucker Consulting Group, KRCG. And you can find that at katrucker.com. And yeah, again, Kat with a K.
All right.
Yep, Kat Rucker and Cash for Kat for both of us.
All right. Sounds good. And for all those listening, I'll be sure to have those in the show notes so you can reach out and explore those more. And I'm always a big advocate of personal finance and financial literacy. So I write a blog, but I love reading additional blogs on financial literacy as well. So, Kat, it's great to have you on the show again. For all my listeners, be sure to hit that subscribe button as we'll have additional country spotlights coming up here in 2023.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.